the environment that we are in and have been, and I don't see much changing in the future. So you fast forward to when Mayor Brown was talking about he was in office in early 2000, and all of the development projects I was working on were outside of San Francisco and outside of the Fillmore District, and I was asked by the leadership of this community to come in and work on this project over here because they wanted to see some African-American developer undertake this project. And I was hesitant to do it because Chuck Collins had spent the previous 10 to 12 years and he had been unable to do it, and he was a friend, and I was hesitant on coming in behind him trying to accomplish this. But Larry Martin and Leroy King asked me to work on this. And this was on my mind the other day when I was sitting at Leroy King's memorial, because we got a bus for him in the lobby over there. And for him to know where we have arrived and where we're headed, it concerns me. And so you fast forward, you go back to that point in time, and there were only two developers interested in working on this property in 2003 and 2004. And that was our group, and then Magic Johnson's group from Los Angeles. No one else was interested. There were no other developers that don't look like me that were interested in coming into this community. And so we did. And in doing so, we spent the next several years trying to put together the private financing for this transaction. And we actually had to go to Boston and Washington, D.C. to find financing to build that project along with the public money. But once the project was built and it was operational, I moved all around the country, and the people around the country were just amazed that we here in San Francisco, in a public-private environment, had come together to create what is across the street. You know, many of you all were here in this building when Barack spoke right before that building broke ground, and I remember telling him what we were trying to do, and that we as a African-American developer were going to be lead of that project, and what we were going to be doing it in a partnership with a majority firm. And he said to me, "No more second chair." And I remember that to this day, and look where we have come. He's not sitting in the second chair, he's sitting in the first chair in Washington. And that's where we have come. But over this period of time, we've had the challenges. But in 2004, when we were getting this off the ground, and we were going to have the opportunity as a Black development company to put together a number of investors to own this property over here. You know, we sold the condo, but we were going to own the commercial space. It is unheard of in San Francisco. If you can find another 40,000 square foot commercial space that is owned by someone Black in the Bay Area, please let me know, because I would like to understand how they accomplished it. But we accomplished it across the street, and then we had to bring in an anchor tenant that was going to be a jazz club and restaurant, because that was the theme that the redevelopment agency mandated that we put there. And so then our goal, as part of this whole Black entrepreneurship, which everybody has spoke about tonight, was that we didn't want to just bring the Oceans in as a tenant and we not be involved in the ownership of the venue, which somebody else spoke about, the fact that we perform in the venues, but we don't own the venues. And so we put together an ownership group of some people that are in this room, and we co-owned with the Oceans 40% of that business. And then we were the landlord. That is the perfect symmetry of Black entrepreneurship, when you own the building and then you can put the tenant in the building. But we expected that they were going to be able to operate that business as they had done in Oakland successfully and make it profitable. And despite all of the efforts that they put in, they invested $3 million. We handed out a fact sheet earlier tonight wanting you all to understand we have put a lot of our own personal cash into this, and a lot of other investors have. And we invested over $4 million into Yoshi's in addition to all the money we invested in the building. So we were committed to this, and we still are committed to this. It wasn't a game. My businesses before this were primarily housing, and here I find myself in this commercial development restaurant music venue business. It was a bad decision to go down that route, but we accepted it because we wanted to bring something to this community that everybody was interested in, that had started back when Dianne Feinstein first made that property available, and then Mayor Brown helped make it happen when he was mayor and we started this project. And so, unfortunately, because of the framework that the redevelopment agency laid on us. They didn't make anything easy back then. We had enough debt to push us down and make our shoulders like this. But we accepted it because it was the only way we were going to be able to accomplish that. But that decision ultimately was led to our demise because Yoshi, we had to pass on all of that responsibility to the Yoshis, the 1300, to the Jazz Heritage Center nonprofit that we helped found with other members of this audience, and 1300, and we were all bombarded with more debt that did not allow those businesses to succeed, and it ultimately led to the inability to pay the loans to the city, and it ultimately led to their canceling our agreement as ownership of that property. And that's where we are. And I didn't come up here tonight to ask you all for anything. I just wanted to, because I don't know when there will be a forum like this for me to speak again or if I will choose to. But the one thing I want you to understand is that we put a lot of investment in it. We put a lot of hard work and sweat equity into this, and we were committed to it. And the only way it will work going forward, and it probably won't be with us, is if the city, with all the resources that many of you all talked about, takes a different approach to the financial structure of this building and allows it to be operate in a way that it is not, you know, loaded down with debt payments, so that whatever the community figures out is going to be the use of those facilities can operate in a way that will allow them to be successful. And the last thing I'll tell you is that when Yoshi's failed and went into bankruptcy for 2 years, and we were fighting with them about that, okay, I made another mistake. It wasn't as if I hadn't already made enough of them. We decided with a group of investors, we're going to try to resurrect it, and we're going to create the addition so that we could preserve the 100 jobs that were over there, okay, and so that the thing would not go dark and would continue to operate. And we found out that operating that 28,000 square foot facility was very difficult. I mean, just the PGD and the insurance would be daunting if you understood what those bills are. So we all have to also be aware, taking that on comes with some major obligations for just the basic overhead. And we went 6 months trying to book the concerts. You all know some of the people that came through there over that time period, Stanley Clark, you know, R&B, hip hop, because it's never been all about jazz. It was all forms of music, and what has been for the last 7 years. But we couldn't make it work because the industry is overloaded with demands on artist contracts and overhead for this and insurance costs for that. It was just too daunting. And after 6 months, some of us in the investment group were continuing to put money in, and we found like, look, we can't keep doing this, and we had to close. That was one of the hardest days of my life, to actually stand in front of the employees over there and tell them that we had to close and that the place was going to go dark. And we had to cancel a whole series of contracts of concerts that were projected for the next 3 months. So we all just have to realize where we have come on this. And you know, we accomplished a lot, but we also did it and made a lot of mistakes in the process. And hopefully we won't do that going forward, but it is going to take some major concessions that this community is somehow going to have to demand for the city to do. Otherwise, it won't succeed. And we most of us have already been resigned. In fact, we are going to lose millions of dollars from having taken this on. You know, and that's the cross that we have to bear. But as the Lord says, and my mother gave me the scripture, the Lord only gives you crosses to bear that he knows that you can handle. And that is the one that we have had to burden with, which is the unsuccess of this as it is here today. But as a whole, as a group, as a city, as a community, we have a lot to be realize that we've accomplished with achieving that. And now we have to go into the next generation of this and do it right with the cooperation of the city, and hopefully that will occur. And that's all I have to say. In this process, I've made a lot of good friends in this audience, and all of you have supported everything we have done, and we all gave everything that we could to try to make it successful, and I hope it will go on to become successful, and we'll look back on it, and the legacy of what we started over there will have not gone for nothing. Thank you.
Madam President, and I want to welcome you to the Republican office. Before I say anything, ladies and gentlemen, I think that we should give Mr. Johnson another round of applause.